This is Cross Currents. I'm Hena Baba. Dancer and choreographer Rulan Tangen believes that, quote, to dance is to live and to live is to dance. You can see this idea manifested in her dance company, Dancing Earth Creations, which she founded in 2004 after surviving cancer. She calls the work Indigenous Contemporary Dance, inspired by the intertribal and interdisciplinary nature of the company. Her pieces explore themes like nature, transformation, and decolonization, all through an Indigenous matriarchal worldview. Dancing Earth led a series of workshops and is performing as part of Dance Mission's Dirt Festival in San Francisco this weekend. KALW's Jen Chien spoke with Rulan Tangen about the new piece and the origins of her art.
Some artists have a kind of origin story where when they fell in love with their art form or when they knew that that was the life path for them. Do you have a moment like that?
You know, I have an origin story because, where do our origins begin? So I want to begin with Dancing Earth. And the origin for that actually happened when I was in the throes of cancer treatment and definitely at the edge of life and death. And I'm blessed to say that it was probably 13 years ago that I was having cancer treatments. I had already had a full career in New York and Europe and Canada and California as well, where I started dance, actually. And I was sort of swept off my feet because I'd always believed, you know, the one thing that I had was the strength of my body. Like I might not have, you know, a lot of, the strength of my body and my mind and my will. So when I was diagnosed with cancer, I was, almost felt like, you know, everything that I knew to be true about myself was no longer true. But I knew that I had a purpose to bring something to this planet that hadn't existed before or not existed the way it exists now as Dancing Earth. Before that, I was always dancing to make a living, to make ends meet, and I still needed to pay my medical bills, and so engagements were being offered to me, but I didn't, you know, if I couldn't walk, I wasn't sure if I'd be able to dance, so I had to translate what was coming through me, these visions coming through me, onto other bodies, which I think is choreography, and I had to go deep inside myself to understand, what is life, really? I remember looking down and seeing my chest rise and fall and thinking, well, if there's movement there, I must be alive. I must be breathing. And in fact, that quality of movement, that torso being this living entity is very present in my work now. So when I was creating dance coming out of cancer, I no longer could dance like, okay, move like this, or I want it to look like this based on my technical strength and my skill or what I could imagine and then turning that into movement. I had to really look at the functionality and the efficiency of movement and why we do things. What is the purpose of movement? And I really believe it indigenized my process, which is something I talk about all the time, is continually decolonizing and indigenizing our process, which is, dance as a functional ritual, usually for transformation. That was the beginning. So it came from a time of a life and death moment, and then blossoming forward with new life. And I can imagine this would be relevant now, where many people of my mom's generation, for example, who ushered in civil rights and feminism, have seen, in a sense, a death to all that with the current political regime and, you know, the country falling back into places where we never thought we'd go before. And, in some cases, feeling a death of hope. And then out of that, I'm hoping for this pulsing heart of this revolution, because in a way, the system was cracked to begin with, because anything that's on the back of slavery and, you know, land grabs and massacres.
Are you talking about the system of the United States?
That's right. So it might be time for a complete overhaul. And that's, in a sense, the piece that I'm creating is called Treaty Making, We Stand Together. And the whole workshop we did this morning, which was called The Movement of Movement Building, was a whole series of decolonizing exercises to get us to this consciousness of taking our first gentle steps on this ground, being aware of the imprint we make on the territory of Yelamu, which is we're basically walking on the bones of ancestors. So knowing that, in our desire for what, you know, we want what we want, we are stepping on the backs of others. And, you know, once we're aware of that, to be conscious of what do we have to give? What is it that we are doing that gives us a right to be here rather than to be as parasites? And I think it's something we can look at as a society of, you know, how are we contributing? What are we giving back?
You spoke about dance as a functional ritual. How is that different than how you had understood dance before that?
For me, even when I was a young ballet dancer, I always approached dance as a ritual, like the pulling back the hair and the warming up, like this sort of sense of preparing oneself for this, you know, these moments on stage. But I think when I say functional, I'm looking at very practical things like dancing for water, dancing for seeds to come out of the ground, dancing for the seasons to change. So these are, in a sense, many tribal peoples have had those ritual dances from the beginning of time. I'm revisiting the idea from the notion of intertribalism. So people that are coming together from different cultural backgrounds, maybe speaking different languages. Like there were languages of Cherokee, Apache, Navajo. And instead of me superimposing an idea that or a phrase that everyone copies, instead we were investigating an idea or a theme and letting everyone bring their cultural as well as their creative contribution. And so the creative process was very much collaborative and, for me, empowering for each of the people in the room. So their individualities became very important.
These are your collaborators
Yes.
that are coming from all different backgrounds.
Exactly. So the diversity really informed the work.
Also, it strikes me that a lot of indigenous dance traditions on different continents have to do with participation, and they're not about performance. They're mm-hmm. not about a separation between audience and the doer of the dance, mm-hmm. but they're more of a community activity.
Mm-hmm.
So is that sort of built into what your company does as well?
Certainly, some of the performances. In a sense, even my company, when we first started, many people didn't consider them. They didn't know what a professional dancer was. So they themselves were community members that were suddenly a part of something. And then they'd get other community members involved and like, oh, my cousin, he's a DJ. Maybe he can help out with this. So I do love the idea of audience participation. And some of our performances bring that in, whether the audience is participating by writing something down or by helping paint on something or literally by joining in the rhythms. So we'll see if that evolves out of this piece. We have First Nations people of California that are all present on stage the entire time, sort of sitting there solid. We have been here. We have always been here. We will still be here. And then at the end, after all, like we're sharing these beautiful spoken word treaties and spoken words recorded at Standing Rock, and suddenly all of those words are going to be empowered by the purity of their voices, making pure vocalizations that it sort of bypasses time, it bypasses language, it's a pure energy activation. Sound is actually movement, it's a vibration. So I'm interested in the vibration of these California Native voices that have been here since the beginning of time and see what happens to all of our bodies in that room.